Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What did the cat say when it fell?
Ouch.
Meow.
Nah.
No? You don't like that one?
Mm.
I worked all day on that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you do anything else today?
Not really.
Okay. Well, this is Stranger Still.
You do love me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you didn't love me.
Well.
And that's why you weren't on last week.
Right.
And I didn't have a Valentine because of it.
I heard about that.
So.
I came up a couple times in that one.
Yeah. What else did we say about you?
That I wouldn't write down a topical topic.
Yeah.
For a future podcast, which I did, and I gave it to you to give it to your wife.
And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very confused.
And now we're going to do something about patron saints someday.
Someday. On what show?
On Stranger Still, which is a podcast where we answer the questions
that you've never questioned to ask.
I'm John Began.
And I'm Nick Wood. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about animal rights.
Yeah.
Which is near and dear to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And tertiarily near and dear to my heart.
It's actually near and dear and fond to my heart.
Why fond?
That's a type of deer.
Oh, fawn, not fond.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is... one of my childhood friends' sister's name was Fawn,
mm-hmm.
and she quickly changed it to Kim, because she didn't want to be named Fawn. That was weird.
That's a good name. That's what my dog's name is.
Well, it's a dog.
My dog that I adopted from Last Hope Animal Rescue.
Like, no one wants to be named Spike or Rover.
What? You could be the best bully with the name Spike. Are you kidding?
You could be on, like, Doug.
All the best bullies. Those top premium class bullies are named Spike.
I don't think that's their Christian name.
Mm.
But we're going to talk about the American Humane Association, which is harder for me to say than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
A.K.A., I'm just going to call them the AHA, or mm-hmm. the AHA. Let's call them the AHA
uh-huh.
for the rest of the episode. Mm. They're the people that are widely known for giving movies the little tag at the end of the credits that say no animals were harmed during the making of this film, that little stamp of approval. They've recently come under fire for A Dog's Purpose, which to me sounds like a dumb premise for a movie.
Yeah.
I think I've told you this before, but they were talking about it on My Brother and Me, and the premise was so ridiculous, I thought it was all a goof until yep. I watched the trailer.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this can't be... Oh, God, it's real. It's real.
It's just dog Buddhism.
Yeah, which is fine, but it's a dumb movie. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But the allegations were that there's this video that came out from TMZ that they were supposedly forcing a dog to swim when it didn't want to and pushing it in a pool and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Do you know any more about it?
Yeah. So Nick and I like to know what's going on in the world, and we watch a popular YouTube news network. You might also know it's number one news network in the world. The Young Turks, they cover this, and that's what kind of inspired this whole thing.
Yeah.
And one of the allegations, it was just that they had a German Shepherd who felt uncomfortable, was forced into the water.
Uh-huh.
Then there was claims that was actually edited to look worse than it was.
Yeah.
Because where they actually show the dog getting knocked underwater was a different clip later, and they didn't force him in, but it was all up in the air, but it kind of opened your eyes to what does the AHA do?
Mm-hmm.
How do they enforce these rules, and how effective are they?
Yeah, and the other thing that came out of that, there was an investigation. And they said that there was no animal cruelty, but at the same time, like, they're trying to push a dog into the pool, and just because there was no animal cruelty doesn't mean that they were not trying to be cruel to animals. So I don't even know where I sit on the fence right now, because
yeah.
I've heard both sides of the story. But like you said, it's opened a lot of eyes to the idea of AHA, and I think it begs the question that we're going to answer today, which is, were no animals harmed during the making of this film?
Yes. Let's do this.
So, let's start off, as I often like to do, with a little bit about the AHA itself, which is that they started their work way back in 1877, and they founded on treating animals right, of course, but mostly during transportation of all things. So they were seeing animals getting transported from place to place, and they were not being treated very nicely. Like, there was one instance where I think 1,000-plus sheep, like, froze to death during transportation and something like that.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So,
that's terrible.
Yeah. I'm laughing because of your reaction, but I think this episode is going to be tough for you.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. I thought they were putting on cute little seatbelts, maybe.
No.
Just like, hey, buckle up, little horse.
That's why AHA was founded. They were one of the leading forces in finding and challenging animal abuses in slaughterhouses and helping to enact more regulations for better animal treatment. I know you don't agree with slaughterhouses in general, but like we've all seen that video in Food Inc. where there's like live cows being swung from hooks and then hitting a wall and like their heads get bonked and it's not pretty. Yeah. But they were part of the party that set the right things in motion so that wouldn't happen.
Year did they start?
1877.
Was that so this is before pre-PETA, way pre-PETA.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that I found out through a lot of my research is that they work with a lot of other companies and mm-hmm. other organizations. So like you'll find out in just a second, they work with Child Protection Services. They work with, maybe they work with PETA. There's just, they like to help push things in the right direction.
Cool.
And it's all nonprofit. I should say that too, before I forget. But like I said, one of the things that I didn't know is that they were big advocates for children as well. Because back then, I don't think it's any surprise that children weren't treated right. They were forced to work in factories and stuff and underpaid and lots of death and probably dismemberment. I don't know.
Sure, that sounds brutal.
Yeah, but...
But they did work for free, and that was a big saving on the company. You got to show both sides sometimes.
Yeah. So what they did almost from the beginning was they helped, like I said, in the child labor laws area, they helped put in legislation against child abuse in the home.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that came with that was that they helped implement some laws that required care providers and health providers to report any suspected child abuse to the Child Protection Services. And that's one thing that I learned working at a daycare is that you are legally required to report any suspicion of child abuse. And if you don't report it and there's evidence that you could have known about it, like if you saw bruises or a child said something to you that was a little bit wonky and you didn't report it, and then it was later found out they were abused, then you were held liable for that.
Wow.
They helped get corporal punishment out of schools. It took a long time, but they helped push that in the right direction. They also helped get children's rights in divorce cases. And one of the more interesting ones is they campaigned for safe off-street playgrounds. I have no idea what that means, though. Like, yeah. As if we had playgrounds in the middle of the street.
Well, that's exactly what it was like. I grew up in New York. Did you?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, we used to have, little Johnny and Seesaw right in the middle of the street. It made for really, really good 80s movies because, you know, like taxi cabs would land on a seesaw and then people would like jump on it and lots of stunts.
Flying in the air.
Lots of great stunts.
Yeah.
Lots of injuries.
Yeah. And then they had to take that away.
Mm.
Which is unfortunate. But in 1921, they began working toward legislation to protect children's rights in movie production. And 4 years later, they started to see animal abuse in film production as well. So in 1925, they had a part of their organization start to investigate animal cruelty on the sets of films.
Right. Like that little Smoking Monkey and those little black and white movies.
Yeah.
They got him nicotine gum, didn't they?
I think so.
Help them quit.
I don't know if the gum was around, but they definitely had the patches.
Okay.
So they would put that on the monkey.
Ironically, that was his name.
Patches. Or nicotine. Nicotine patches?
Nicotine patches. The monkey.
Yeah.
Go steal that guy's money.
Yep. Yeah. It wasn't until 14 years later in 1939 that on the set of the movie Jesse James, a horse died from being forced to run off the side of a cliff. So that's good.
On purpose.
Yeah, they forced the horse to run off the side of a cliff and it died.
To get the shot.
I don't know why, but they campaigned even harder to put laws into effect to protect animals during film production. And finally, in 1941, the Motion Picture Association of America granted AHA free access to all movie sets to supervise all the training activities for animals.
Woo! Yeah.
It took forever to happen, and they still didn't have any laws in place. And 10 years later, in 1951, they finally came up with the official No Animals Were Harmed stamp of approval that they pride themselves on having the exclusive rights to.
Aw. What little sweethearts.
Yeah, if you go to their website, it's like, we are the exclusive owners of the No Animals Were Harmed stamp of approval. Ding! today, there is a AHA representative on the set of every film where animals are being used, and they ensure that the animals are obviously being treated fairly, and none of them are being harmed.
Mm-hmm.
The real takeaway here is that they spent almost 30 years fighting for animal rights on film sets.
And so, little baby children.
Yeah.
To not get run over by cars on the seesaw and swing sets.
Yeah. So that they didn't get hit by taxis.
Yep.
And become like a superhero or something. Because that's what happens, right?
In New York City only, exclusively.
Right.
If you get hit by a car, if you get like some kind of nuclear waste comes on you. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I always thought it was interesting that there's never any Midwest superheroes. But then I was like, Spider-Man can't web sling in Cedar Rapids. Like, there's two buildings.
I'm going to be there in 2 hours. Just run through cornfields real quick.
Yeah. So it took them 30 years to get to this point, and you think that they'd prize their accomplishments, and they would do nothing to tarnish their hard work in the past, right?
No. Yeah, everything's golden always.
Always. Well, as it turns out, recently, there's been a few shady things that AHA has been involved in. And like you said, we were tipped off by the Young Turks, who I think were tipped off by A Dog's Purpose. And they cited a investigation by the Hollywood Reporter, which was actually an article published 3 years ago. So this is something that we've known for a long time,
mm-hmm.
Everything that I'm about to go into. But I think people are finally opening their eyes to some of the weird things that happened. So just fair warning, some of this might be hard for other people to listen to, maybe hard for you to listen to,
mm-hmm.
but you got a strong stomach. So spoilers, the AHA has allowed some pretty messed up animal cruelty and handle it really poorly.
Yeah.
And if we have learned anything of late, if you try to cover something up, people are going to find out about it.
Yeah.
So you better just be honest.
That's topical for life here going forward.
Yeah.
It's not like we could get this dated because I think that that's forever now. The internet exists. You do something messed up. We're going to find out.
Yeah, people are going to know, and then you're going to look worse for trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
So just don't even try, you idiot. Russia's going to hack into your email servers, and did I just date it?
Yeah, now it's dated.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, I mean, email servers will be around for a long time, so.
Emails.
What are emails?
Did you get my wave message?
Did you get my snail mail?
Look at that.
What, your wave message?
Wave of the future.
Oh.
I don't know.
Like, we're going to zap waveforms into people's brains.
Something like that.
With our messages in them.
We're going to sound so dumb when we're wrong. It's not with your brains, you idiots. It's with your computer phones.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening in the future.
Yeah. What was that joke you had earlier?
Oh. I heard a good joke that was, people always ask me if I could see where I'm going to be in the next 3 years. And I'm like, I don't have 20/20 vision.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's all I got. For some reason, I thought of a Reddit username that I read the other day. There's like this whole thread of Reddit novelty accounts coming to assemble. It's like, Reddit novelty accounts assemble. And it's like, PM me your nipples and like Captain Obvious. And there was one person whose name was Captain Hindsight. And they're like, in hindsight, this username wasn't a very good idea. So let's dive into the fun stuff, huh?
I don't even drink milk. This is going to be terrible.
This is going to be terrible, so I'll make it as fun for you as possible. Have you seen Life of Pi?
I have seen Life of Pi.
I haven't. Is it good?
I mean, as far as I know, the finished product was great.
Yeah, the finished product was probably pretty good. So on the set of Life of Pi, occasionally they would use a live tiger. In other instances, they would use CGI if they could.
Mm-hmm.
According to this article on Hollywood Reporter, during one take, the tiger got off the boat, which is like the central location of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm. The raft,
They're on a raft. And the tiger got off, and during one take, the tiger got lost, trying to swim back to the side of the set or the pool or whatever they were filming in, and almost drowned. Like, it was having trouble not dying.
Tigers are notoriously bad swimmers, I would think,
cats
right?
Cats hate water, right?
Yeah.
And the AHA representative on site emailed a colleague saying, quote, I think this goes without saying, but, and then in all caps, don't mention it to anyone, especially the office. I have downplayed the F out of it. Mm-hmm. They didn't say F. In the end, Life of Pi still got the no animals were harmed stamp. And then later, the AHA found out, they found the emails between the two people, and they probably got fired.
Slap on the wrist?
Yeah, probably.
So, okay. If I were a skeptic, which I'm not, I'd say, well, no animals were harmed physically. It was kind of just traumatized a little bit, right?
Right. That's all.
I'm sure they don't do anything worse than that.
And there's no tiger therapists out there. They don't go sit on a tiger couch.
Well, not in the U.S. Insurance won't cover that.
Right. It's...
Again, dated.
Which country?
In future America,
yeah.
All your tigers are insured for mental health.
Then there was the first Hobbit movie, which this was another one that the Young Turks talk about. 27 animals, such as sheep and goat, died from dehydration and exhaustion on set. And this is where it gets pretty dark. This was reported by one of the trainers on set to AHA, and they said that it would be hard to prove without physical evidence, mostly because they're in America, and this took place in New Zealand, I believe. That's yeah. where The Hobbit takes place. Or it was filmed. Not takes place. That'd be sweet. But the trainer...
We've got to transport the ring. Obama is passing legislation that makes it harder to get through borders.
The trainer that reported it replied by saying that he himself had buried the animals. So there's your evidence right there. I am reporting it and I buried these animals. To which AHA said the deaths happened when they weren't filming and they were taking a break from filming, so they had no jurisdiction.
As far as I understand, weren't they? They're kind of like in their, they're kept offset in like little, like a ranch or shelter.
Yeah.
And that's when it's happened.
Well, it took place during some sort of hiatus, so they were just like in a break from filming.
Right.
And they were exhausted.
It was drownings and things like that, yeah.
Yeah. So in the end, they did get a stamp from AHA, but it read that they monitored all of the significant animal action. No animals were harmed during such action.
Wow.
So carefully tiptoed around it. Yeah, okay, we believe you. There were a lot of other examples in the article, but they didn't go quite into that much detail. There was a giraffe that died on the set of Zookeeper, you know, the American classic with Paul Blart. What's his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Paul Blart.
That's his name in everything. Yeah.
In 2011. I think that giraffe died of natural causes, if I'm not mistaken. But there were dozens of fish and squid that died while filming Pirates of the Caribbean because AHA didn't want to take precautions in protecting the marine life around where they were filming.
Okay, so hold on a sec.
Yeah.
That giraffe died of natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
How does it affect ageism in Hollywood against unionized giraffes?
Yeah, you know...
Is it hard to get a job if you're old and an animal?
And a giraffe.
But let's say this really... And a giraffe. But let's say, okay, I mean, I'm not finished with this idea. It's just my rough draft.
Sure.
But as far as if an animal's old and it dies naturally,
yeah,
and you did everything you could against it, does that count against no animals were harmed in the AHA's eyes? They did get the stamp for that movie?
They did get the stamp for that movie, and I don't think that they were making any specific commentary. They're just saying, like, sometimes things happen on set that, I mean, it's just going to happen.
So that kind of makes it meaningless then, doesn't it?
Kind of. But at the same time...
Unavoidable.
Unavoidable. There was, I think, on the set of Marmaduke, one of the dogs got cancer and died. And technically, I mean, the animal was harmed from the cancer.
Yeah.
So, they were drawing a fine line between some of these things.
There's a gray area.
There is a gray area, but there's also an area of irresponsibility.
Right.
And I could have sworn that I read somewhere that there were also possible conflicts of interest with AHA, but I couldn't find that information when I went to research again, and I thought it said that someone on the AHA board was also higher up at the Hallmark Channel, so AHA may have turned a blind eye to some of the things that happened when they were filming their movies, and like they started up a award show on the Hallmark Channel for animals and stuff, and just some weird stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And as the Hollywood Reporter pointed out, instead of protecting animals, they've become complicit, which is very ironic.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that everything they do now is bad, which is where that I think that gray area comes in, where sometimes they feel like they're doing the right thing.
And beyond that, things would be way worse without them.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that they've done a lot for animal rights in movies.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if a dog died on set, well, let's just go bury it in the backyard and continue with our day. Whereas now it's like, no, you need to be held responsible to that. In fact, you showed me that clip from Quentin Tarantino,
right?
Where he absolutely praises AHA for their work on Django Unchained and mm-hmm. made sure that they were top billing because they really protected the animals' rights and he cared about that.
Yeah.
What I think is important, though, is I bring this up in a time where it's really important to hold people accountable. And if you're going to say that you're protecting animals, you need to go at it 100%. Especially if you're a nonprofit and people are spending their money and they're trusting you, you need to be held accountable to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that's the beauty of Last Hope Animal Rescue.
Yeah.
To who I work with. I got spaced out, getting lost in all this craziness for a sec.
Yeah.
But as far as being cannibal, taking care of animals, things mm-hmm. like that, Last Hope's done a lot of good work. I've helped them a lot with my girlfriend and I. And if you want to donate to Last Hope Animal Rescue, you can go to adopthope.org/donate.
Yeah, because animal rights are good. And unfortunately, a lot of the people that do work for animal rights are based on donation. Well, I would say probably all of the work that goes towards animal rights is done based on donation. So yeah.
They don't have a voice to speak for themselves, so you kind of got to step up and be a good human.
Yeah, which is hard sometimes. It's hard for people to be good humans, it seems. But, oh well.
Well, we created these things called corporations.
Yeah.
And they are kind of like robots.
Yeah, beep boop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to recap?
Yeah. So, AHA started out doing super good stuff.
The who?
The AHA.
Yep.
Aha.
Aha.
Yep, take on me. Aha.
Yep.
Okay.
I got you.
So, they started out really great. They helped all the animals and the baby kids get money. And have rights.
Yep.
Things like this. And then they kind of grew into modern day, where they became a big corporation who had a reputation to live up to, regardless of
what happens.
If, you know, they got a lot of things slip through the cracks, they're going to try to cover those up to live up to that expectation.
Yeah.
And not have bad numbers.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that I forgot to talk about was they report that, I guess I would call it a success rate. Their success rate is 98.6%, which, I mean, this doesn't happen all the time. 2.4 or 1.4% they fail at their job. Doesn't sound too bad, but like I said, like, hold yourselves accountable to this.
Yeah.
And don't try to cover it up.
It should be public information if something went wrong so that you could prevent it again.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk. Yeah. Yep. And I did see also on one of their sites, on the Hollywood Reporter, that they had ratings where movies were outstanding or acceptable conditions, things like that. So that kind of transparency is good, and I want to see more of that from them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Transition music. What's your favorite non-domesticated animal?
Squid? Mantis shrimp?
Which one?
The mantis squid?
Yeah. Why?
We haven't discovered it yet. It's going to be great.
I'm really confused.
The mantis shrimp and the squid are different animals, so the mantis squid is going to be really cool when we find it in the deep ocean.
Oh, gotcha.
That's going to be my favorite. But my favorite now is probably...
That's probably going to require some interspecies relations, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We don't know what goes on down there.
Yeah.
It's just blackness.
Hmm.
What's yours?
Red panda.
Okay, that was quick.
Yeah. I think about that a lot. Red pandas are so cute! There was a live stream on, I think, Election Day of red pandas that was in, I think, the San Francisco Zoo.
Yeah.
And they're like, have some joy on your day, on your election day. And it was like, they're mostly just sleeping, but they're so adorable.
That's awesome. Like, what about fennec foxes?
You know.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good, but like, their ears are really big.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's disproportionate. Like, red pandas are just perfect. They're cute all around. Nothing is wrong with them.
Mm. So and big ears is bad, or like...
My second favorite domesticated animal is, non-domesticated animal, is the cheat, which I just harmed an animal during the making of this episode.
Well, it was digital replication.
Shh, he's real to me.
Mm.
Damn it. Where can people find us?
They can find us at Stranger Still on Twitter.
Yeah. And on Facebook, we got that group going. You just search for Stranger Still, and we have fun on there.
Yep. We got StrangerStillShow.com.
And we're on YouTube.
Yep.
All of our episodes are up there.
Nick put every single thing up, and we are working on different shows for the future.
Yeah.
Multiple things.
Yeah, lots of stuff, and we're really excited. We've talked about it for like 2 months now.
But... Yeah, but we're in planning stages.
Yeah, pre-production.
Pre-production. We're almost there. Just give us like a year.
Pre-production.
Yep.
Do you ever say something over and over, and then you just kind of get caught in a loop, and you can't get out of saying that? Because that just happened to me.
Reprehensible.
No, I just mean like you unintentionally get yourself in a stutter loop.
Oh, no.
That happens to me a lot.
I have a normal human mouth. I'm still John.
What, do you want to do a listener question?
Are you still Nick?
I'm still. Listener question time. This week's listener question comes from my wife, Shelby, who posted on our Facebook group and wanted to know why we hate repetitive noises.
Mm-hmm.
And this listener question comes from my wife, Shelby, who posted on our Facebook group and wanted to know why we hate repetitive noises.
Mm-hmm.
And this listener question came from my wife, Shelby, who posted on our Facebook group and wanted
to know... And what was the answer, Nick?
Why we hate repetitive noises. I had to finish my joke.
Okay, you got it.
Well, I'm sad to report the science doesn't know, but after we recorded last week's episode, she said, why didn't you answer my listener question? I'm like, because we don't know the answer. And she's like, oh, so I have to answer it now. So I read an article that said a couple of things. One was that our hatred for certain repetitive noises starts to develop around the age of 10 for some reason, which is weird. They also said that it's not so much the noise itself, it's just the repetitive nature. So, like, if someone eats their food like that.
Yep, love that. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's not the actual, it's the repetitive.
So as long as I do something once, it's not so bad?
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you eat and you're like,
yeah, that's kind of cute, actually.
Yeah, it's not annoying.
It's like you dropped a piece of bologna in the floor.
It did sound like that. Yeah. I can do mouth fully
with it. Maybe let's do it.
I'm
do
like
it again.
Michael Winslow.
I'll ask you to pick it up quietly. Go ahead. Hey, can you throw that away? Did you just peel it?
Yeah.
Okay, that was great.
What other noises can I make with my mouth?
That's for another episode.
Okay. The last thing that they said is that we don't know what causes it, but they believe it has something to do with the development of our brain around the age of 10, that we start to pick up on certain repetitive noises and we just start to associate those with hatred.
I would think at that point you would also start to develop opinions. So when you're listening to music and there's soothing repetitive noises,
yeah,
that can work in your favor.
Absolutely. Conditioning. Maybe it's just conditioning. I don't know.
Like, I don't know anybody that gets mad when they hear ocean waves. Like, stop it and knock it off!
I've never told you this, but the reason I don't go to the coast is because I hate the sound of waves. I want to punch something like this.
Punch a wave? You just on top of those little sound effects, huh?
Yeah. That's all I got. Got anything else?
I got nothing.
What is that place that people could donate at?
They could go to adopthope.org/donate to help the Last Hope Animal Rescue.
Yeah, and your mom said a long time ago that if I donate $50 to Last Hope, she will give me a box full of old John pictures.
Are you still waiting for those in the mail?
No, I still need to donate $50. Oh. So that'll happen eventually.
Yeah, I would say my mom will probably Facebook message you a picture of me if you donate and tell me.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this has been Stranger.
Still.